You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the power of rest. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on the power of rest. Why sleep alone is not enough. A 30-day plan to reset your body by Matthew Edlund, MD. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. I used to think rest was a waste of time. I'm a doctor. Why rest when you can be seeing patients, teaching, and writing research papers? It took me a long time to figure out that most medical people, and far more of the general public, have gotten the basic facts wrong. Rest is not a waste of time. It is a biological need, a process for restoration and rebuilding. Rest is not useless, but a major pathway to our renewal, our survival. The process of aging need not mean the inevitable decline of a youthful, healthy human machine into a rustling, decayed hulk. Rather, we should see aging as a script in which the body experiences, learns, rebuilds, and regrows, including our brains, throughout our lives. We recreate, renew, and reorganize ourselves through the process of rest. That's Matthew Edlund, MD, from The Power of Rest. Rest. As the title of this great book suggests, it's more powerful than we may think. Dr. Matthew Edlund, MD, is known as the Rest Doctor. Check him out at therestdoctor.com. He's the director of the Center for Circadian Medicine in Sarasota, Florida. Sounds awesome. And he's an award-winning expert on rest, body clocks, and sleep. This book is packed with big ideas on how we can optimize our lives by focusing more on the power of rest. Not just passive forms of rest like sleep, but active rest to restore ourselves physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually. As the good rest doctor tells us, quote, rest is powerful. Effective rest can help you succeed by making you alert, whole, productive, and happy. It can also provide meaning, making you and your life both more interesting and more complex. With this book, you can learn the rudiments of rest, techniques that you can take with you anywhere. With a little practice, you can then apply these techniques to work, love, leisure, and spirit. It's time to learn how to rest, to build inner and external strength, to feel healthy and alive, to obtain greater control of your life and consciousness, to get more time to do what you really want to do, and to do more with less. End quote. All right, let's jump straight in with our first big idea. Life is timed. Let's get in rhythm. Quote, scientists at Colorado State University studying human genes reported in 2008 that about 98% or more of our genes operate according to 24-hour patterns. Life is timed, and sleep, like other forms of rest, also follows circadian rhythms. Circadian rhythms powerfully affect our behavior and our performance. End quote. That's amazing. 98% or more of our genes operate according to 24-hour patterns. Circadian rhythms are super important. If we want to optimize, we need to pay more attention to how we harmonize with the natural rhythms of the world. And there's no more powerful rhythm than our circadian rhythm. Here's how Dr. James Maz, another sleep genius, puts it in his great book, Power Sleep. See those notes. He says, quote, it's important to keep your biological clock in absolute synchrony with your daily routine. In this way, the hours you spend in bed will correspond with the sleepy phase of your circadian rhythm, and the hours you spend out of bed will correspond with the awake phase of your circadian rhythm. The only way to do this is to maintain a regular sleep schedule, going to bed at the same time every night and waking up at the same time every day, 7 days a week, end quote. Dr. Edlund beautifully articulates the importance of creating rhythms in our lives, being attuned to the flow and harmonizing powerfully. Sleep is a powerful way to do that, and so is active rest, which we'll get to in a moment. For now, a quick look at TV and sleep. Brings us to our next big idea. Want to get depressed? Watch TV at night. Quote, a study done at the University of Pittsburgh and Harvard in 2009 showed that the more TV teenagers watched, the greater their risk of depression during the next 7 years. More TV also generally means less sleep, and less sleep means worse cognitive function and lower grades. Among adults, late-night TV use is a prominent feature in insomniacs, many of whom eventually become depressed. Another unfortunate biological effect of TV comes from the light emitted by the TV itself. While morning light sets our internal clocks earlier, light in the evening sets our biological clocks later. Television sets put out a lot of light. The effect in many people is to make them stay up later, cutting down on their sleep time and making it harder for them to wake up in the morning. End quote. So, want to get depressed? Or get your kids depressed? Watch more TV at night. Seriously, watching TV at night is just not a good idea if we're committed to optimizing our lives. TV viewing itself, beyond a limited time frame, is correlated with low moods. TV viewing at night just makes no sense. The intense light and high energy programming jacks us up, cutting into the quantity and diminishing the quality of our sleep, which directly affects our mood the next day. My number one practice these days is what we call our digital sunset. The sun goes down and we turn off all electronics, allowing ourselves to attune more closely to circadian rhythms, get a good night of sleep, and wake up feeling more refreshed and ready to hit it. I realize we're extreme, but how about you? Can you dial in your nighttime rituals a tad to optimize? Let's do this. All right, next big idea is active rest. Quote, active rest is conscious. Active rest is under your control. Active rest is goal-oriented and directed. With the techniques of active rest you are about to learn, and there are many more, you will rest your body and mind at will, at your leisure, and for your pleasure. Doing active rest, you'll be learning the whole time, restoring your body and developing parts of your brain that will make future techniques of rest easier to learn and use. End quote. Dr. Edlin talks about the importance of what he calls active rest. Whereas sleep is a passive rest activity, we can choose to actively rest throughout the day. The good doctor describes four kinds of active rest: mental rest, social rest, spiritual rest, and physical rest. As Dr. Edlin articulates, quote, mental rest means focusing intelligently on your environment in a way that's rejuvenating. Techniques of mental rest give you the ability to obtain calm and relaxed concentration quickly and effectively, and to become relaxed and focused anytime and anywhere. Mental rest allows for greater concentration, awareness, and achievement. Social rest means using the power of social connectedness to relax and rejuvenate. Spiritual rest is the practice of connecting with things larger and greater than ourselves, which provides fellowship and meaning in life, factors people hunger for, like food. Physical rest, by focusing your body in its simplest physiological processes, provokes calm, relaxation, mental alertness, and surprisingly better health. End quote. So the book unpacks key practices on how to optimize each of those active forms of rest: mental, social, spiritual, physical. Let's quickly explore a few of my favorites now. Next big idea, naps are awesome. Quote, naps restore you. Even a 6-minute nap can improve memory and problem solving. Naps can act as the ideal pick-me-up in the middle of the afternoon or while at work. Winston Churchill always tried to take a daytime nap. Many world leaders take power naps. Before the Industrial Revolution, most of the population routinely took naps. Why? Human beings are built that way. As you learned in the chapter on sleep, before artificial lighting from gas or electricity, people normally slept at night and during the day. Our body clocks decree it. End quote. Naps. Although, oddly, our modern society looks down on a good old nap, they're awesome. Science and good doctors agree. Dr. Edlin goes into detail on why naps rock, and we have a whole note on the subject by another nap expert, Sarah Mednick. Check out the notes on her great book, Take a Nap, Change Your Life, where she tells us, quote, let's look at the rest of the animal kingdom. Do any other species try to get all their sleep in one long stretch? No, they're all multiphasic. meaning that they have many phases of sleep. Homo sapiens, our modern industrialized variety anyway, stand alone in attempting to satisfy the need for sleep in one phase. And even that distinction is a relatively recent development. For most of our history, a rest during the day was considered as necessary a component of human existence as sleeping at night. As A. Roger E. Kirch, one of the few historians to study sleep, put it, "Napping is a tool as old as time itself." End quote. And we've got to love Winston Churchill's comments on the power of naps. He tells us, quote, "You must sleep sometime between lunch and dinner, and no halfway measures. Take off your clothes and get into bed. That's what I always do. Don't think you will be doing less work because you sleep during the day. That's a foolish notion held by people who have no imagination. You will be able to accomplish more. You get 2 days instead of one. Well, at least 1.5, I'm sure. When the war started, I had to sleep during the day because that was the only way I could cope with my responsibilities." End quote. That's so good. I've adopted the practice. I call it a napitation, where I start with a little mindful breathing, deeply relaxing my body, and go from there. Ah. Back to Dr. Edlin. He tells us, quote, "Viewing naps as silly, lazy, and wasteful is short-sighted. Quick, programmed naps can make people feel rested and mentally sharp, improve learning and memory, and if performed in the early afternoon, increase work productivity." And remember, no half measures. Well, okay, if you're at the office, it might be a tad weird to strip all the way down. Ha! But let's go all in for our daily naps and ignore the people with no imagination as we get at least an extra half a day. Next big idea, working out your brain. Quote, "Muscles change with use, just like everything else. That includes the brain. If you use parts of the brain long enough and repetitively enough, they get bigger. Brain activity leads to anatomic changes. Long-term meditators grow bigger, fatter frontal lobes. Frontal lobes are where we concentrate, fix our attention, plan, focus, and do much of our analysis of problems. Even novice meditators grow bigger frontal lobes, with fatter sections of gray matter. One study done by Andrew Newberg of the University of Pennsylvania, who studies the effects of religious practices on the brain, showed that poor recall could be improved by meditation training." End quote. So, the number one active mental rest technique? Meditation. No surprises there, huh? We've been spending a fair amount of time on the marvels of modern neuroscience. Check out the notes on MindSight, The Emotional Life of Your Brain, Buddha's Brain, and Newberg's How God Changes Your Brain for more goodness on the anatomical shifts we make in the very structures of our brain via meditation. It's a remarkable fact, exclamation point, that we can change our brains. Go neuroplasticity. The question is, are we engaging in the practices that enable us to do so? Well, are you? Next big idea, just pray for 1 minute. Quote, "Just pray for 1 minute. Pray as you are and pray as you hope to be. And when you are finished praying, think about yourself. Is your body calm and feeling at rest? Are you feeling a little more hopeful, just a slight bit more joyous? Do you feel that you have connected a little more with others? Others who may sense the same needs for the world that you do. Regardless of the outcome, pray. The way our bodies and brains are designed and configured, the act itself may prove enough. Prayer and the attempt at spiritual connection are also forms of giving. In that way, they are their own reward." End quote. So, the number one way to rest spiritually, number one way mentally was meditation, spiritually, to pray. Even for as little as 1 minute, close your eyes, take a nice deep breath, and pray. If you're out of practice, that might be a little awkward at first, but feel into all that is amazing in your life, all that you aspire to be. Connect to something bigger than yourself and pray. Let's try that right now. Seriously, let's take a minute right now to pray. Take a few deep breaths. How about we take a half a minute? We'll breathe in to the count of four and out to the count of six. Just think of amazing things in your life and who you aspire to be and pray to have the strength and the power and the connection to something bigger than yourself to bring that to life. Connect to something bigger than yourself. Think about that which you aspire to be. Appreciate where you are. Pray. How's that feel? It's pretty amazing, huh? As he asks, check in. Is your body calm and feeling at rest? Are you feeling a little more hopeful? Just a slight bit more joyous? 1 minute prayers. What a great idea. All right, the next big idea is tied to that one. Breathe. Quote, 5 breaths may not seem like a lot, but it is. With those 5 breaths, you've opened up the base of your lungs to better circulation, relaxed your body, and concentrated your focus on what your body does in ways that let you both appreciate it and enjoy it, while finding a way to rest that literally takes seconds and can be used virtually anywhere and anytime. End quote. So one of the top ways to actively physically rest, we've covered mentally, it's meditation, spiritually, prayer, and now physically, how do we rest? Breath, breathe. It's seriously magic. All the great teachers come back to its power. We talk about Kelly McGonigal and how she puts it in her brilliant book, The Willpower Instinct Often. She tells us, quote, "You won't find many quick fixes in this book, but there is one way to immediately boost your willpower. Slow your breathing down to 4 to 6 breaths per minute. That's 10 to 15 seconds per breath, slower than you normally breathe, but not difficult with a little bit of practice and patience. Slowing the breath down activates the prefrontal cortex and increases heart rate variability, which helps shift the brain and body from a state of stress to self-control mode. A few minutes of this technique will make you feel calm, in control, incapable of handling cravings or challenges," end quote. As Dr. Edlin advises, it only takes a few seconds and can be used virtually anywhere and anytime. Feeling stressed? Breathe. In the car driving home? Breathe. On a challenging call or in a challenging meeting? Breathe. Hanging out admiring your kids as they play? Breathe. Getting ready to go to sleep? Breathe. Now a good time to practice? Relax your body, let go of tension in your face and neck and shoulders, and smile. Take a deep breath in, say to a count of 4, and take a nice long exhale, say to a count of 8. Ah, magic. You may want to press pause and do a few more of those, or just do them while we're continuing on through this note. Next big idea, social rest. Quote, "Social rest is powerful. Social rest increases social connections, which can prevent heart attacks, strokes, and perhaps cancer, promote survival, provide personal meaning, and become simple, outrageous fun that will be remembered for a lifetime. There are many, many techniques of social rest, but many involve social touch, the ability to engage in conversation with someone you know well or want to get to know better. In this chapter, you learned how to make a special connection with someone you care about, visit a neighbor or a coworker you'd like to know better, make quick, useful social connections, walk with a coworker to lunch, invite a friend to walk and converse with you in a park, and use sex as social rest." End quote. Social rest, it is also huge. Dr. Edlin walks us through a range of practices we can engage in to optimize our social rest, from walking with a coworker to lunch, to going on a walk with a friend in the park, to a little sexy business. Simple little things that make a big difference when we consciously choose to do them. Social rest is deeply restorative. Let's make it a practice. What can you do today to bring some social rest into your life? All right, final big idea, rest more, accomplish more. Quote, "In order to live well, we need to rest. We need passive forms of rest like sleep. We need the time to rebuild our cells and organs. And we need the active rest techniques you've learned in this book, because they will make us more alert and more effective. Rest more, accomplish more. rest well, and you give yourself a better chance to live healthier and longer. So recognize that rest is a priority, end quote. Rest more, accomplish more. Dr. Edwin has made it abundantly clear. We need passive rest, like sleep, and active forms of rest, mental, physical, social, and spiritual, to live optimally. Let's make it a priority and experience the power of rest. Well, there you go. That's a quick look at this great book, The Power of Rest. If you liked it, I think you'll also like the notes on Take a Nap, Change Your Life, Power Sleep, The Relaxation Revolution, and The Willpower Instinct. As we talked about in the intro, Dr. Matthew Edwin, MD, is the rest doctor. You can check him out at therestdoctor.com. He is one of the world's leading experts on rest, circadian rhythms, and all that good stuff. Now let's take a quick look at the quotes from the sidebar, and we'll wrap it up. All right, these are all from Dr. Edwin, unless I mention otherwise. He tells us, quote, "In order to fully know the peak experiences people describe as their best memories, indeed, just to heal and survive illness, people need to learn how to rest." It's a funny thing. We don't think we need to learn how to do it, but we do. He also tells us, ask yourself this. If you could do less and become healthier, more productive, and successful, would you do it? You can if you know how to rest. He also tells us, life should be rhythmic and musical. There should be time for activity and rest, for work and relationships. Research at Harvard has shown that short periods of daytime sleep, even as short as a 6-minute nap, can improve memory. 6-minute nap. That's awesome. Napping, as you can tell, is controversial. It should not be. Napping is a normal part of human design. Meditators grow their brain. You can't see the change without MRI scans, of course, but different parts of meditators' brains grow larger. In a world that bombards us with information, the art of selective attention becomes increasingly important. That means that self-hypnosis is a skill you'll want to add to your toolkit. He also tells us breathing, like most forms of physical rest, improves as you practice. It takes a little time, but it's a technique you'll be able to do for the rest of your life, so it's worthwhile getting good at it now. We want to learn to rest anywhere, anytime, in ways that restore us, calm us, relax us, and make us alert. That means we have to learn how to breathe. When Freud was asked what the two most important things in life were, he gave a succinct answer, love and work. I think he was right. All right, final little thought here. Rest is restoration. Without rest, our cells do not reconfigure and regrow, rebuild and regenerate themselves. The power of rest. Hope you enjoyed this note and these big ideas. Which one jumped out at you? How can you make that a bigger part of your life? How do you take that idea and make it a practice? Think about that. Get on it. Have fun. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. Have an awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.